Blog Talk Radio.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
All righty, good evening, everyone. You're listening to the Super Dave Show. We're back for another edition. This is kind of a special edition. We're going to be talking to Paul Kurtman quickly. Just want to let you know what is going on in the future here. We will have some big news. We can't announce it yet, but we will, and it's really pretty cool. But I guess you call that a tickler. We're trying to get you going. A couple things. The main thing is, and I want everybody to know, to show up here on April 2nd in Springfield, Missouri at Cartoons Bar and Grill. I had the map link there, but I tried it. It didn't work. So I'm going to do that when the show's over and try to fix it, because when you press it, it doesn't go to the right place. But for those of you that know how to use computers, just Google Cartoons Restaurant Grill, whatever, and in Springfield, Missouri, and it'll come right up. But if you have any questions, you can email me, and I can send you the link. But I promise you I will fix that. We're going to be talking to Paul about what's going on in the state legislature, and especially after what's going on in Wisconsin. I think it's really important that we get to that. Who knows? It could happen. It could happen even here. But, Wisconsin is like the birthplace of progression, of the progressive movement, I should say, and you can see what it's done. It's not a pretty sight, is it? It's, Jesse's there. Everything's okay now because Jesse's there. So, it's pretty interesting. The other thing is, if you're a caller just waiting, just hold on a second here. All righty, just hold on. We'll get to you in a minute. The other thing is, I'm trying to use this new Skype thing here, so just hold on there. You're on. I think you can hear it. Is that right? And I'm trying to get rid of a cold here, too. Back to the Tea Party real quick. What I'd like you to also know is the fact is that when we have the Tea Party, we're going to have Paul Kurtman as one of the speakers and some other people. And from what we know, it's going to be the Hughes brothers are going to be entertaining for us. They have a busy schedule that day, and they're trying to squeeze it in. It looks like they will, but call them up and give them encouragement. Tell them you want them to show up, and then nothing else. Maybe we can have you go down and see them down in Branson that day. Well, you can't see them that day because they don't perform on Saturdays, but they're pretty good. Anyway, we're going to go give Paul a call quickly. I'm going to go ahead and take this, see who's calling here. Let me see if I get this right. Whoop, they hung up. Okay, well, you hung up. All right, well, I tell you what we're going to do. I promise Paul, we call him in a few minutes here, and that's what we'll do. So we're going to try this, see how it works. I wonder if I should give his number out. He'd love that, wouldn't he? That's one thing about this. When you have these people's numbers, they really do have to trust you, because there's no telling what people would do with these. And, I just noticed, if you don't put it in the right way, let me see. That's the next one, and don't go there. Okay, I could just say some numbers and lie, but anyway, we're going to go ahead and get to Paul, because I got a lot to ask him, especially with what's going on here. I guess you hear that there. Calling the Paul Kurtman Show. How's that?
This is Paul.
Hey, Paul, how you doing? This is Super Dave. You're on the air, just so you know, so if you got any bad words to say, save it for after the show.
All right.
Okay. All right, everybody. We're talking to Paul Kurtman here. He is the what district you in up there? He's your state representative. He got elected state representative for what district?
105.
105, and that covers Pacific and Franklin County and Jefferson County?
Right, Pacific, Franklin, and Jefferson County. I guess the best point of reference is to tell people is it's kind of just underneath Six Flags.
Oh, so is Six Flags in your district?
No, it's not. It is just, my district starts, there's the highway, 44, and Six Flags is on one side, and my district is just on the other side. So the highway is really the border, but it's right there.
Oh, I see. Okay. Okay.
Am I coming in all right?
Yeah, you sound great.
Oh, okay. All right. Just making sure.
Do you hear me okay?
Yes, I can.
Okay, good. All right. Okay, you've been up there for a couple months, big guy. What do you think of being a state rep right now? Now, the history on Paul, before we get there, the history on Paul is he started out, okay, you're a Marine, okay? You're never an ex-Marine, correct?
Right.
Okay. Paul's a Marine, and you are the constitutional scholar in my book. You know more about the Constitution. You believe in it more than most people. You stood up, you went to a town hall one time, this is for the people who don't know Paul, and you stood up to Claire McCaskill, and what did you say to her?
Well, I basically draw attention to the fact that we both took an oath to the Constitution, me as a Marine.
Okay. Uh-oh. Did I lose you? Uh-oh, I think we lost Paul. Let me try to call you back, Paul. Somewhere or another we lost you. You didn't tell us where you're going here, so let's try this one more time. Dun, dun, dun. Sorry about that, folks. That wasn't our fault that time. I kind of like it. It's not our fault for once. Let me see. I'm going to go ahead and say another number here, and then everybody start calling somebody else. Let's give you a call back here. Sorry about that, folks. This is... Hey. Lisa's technology, when you go back 100 years, I mean go back 20 years, none of this was even available. You couldn't even think of that way. All righty.
Sorry about that.
All righty. Okay, so anyway, you were talking to Claire, you saw Claire McCaskill, you stood up, and what did you say to her?
I told her that basically we both had something in common. She took an oath to the Constitution, I took an oath to the Constitution, and I told her that I wasn't looking for an explanation behind her vote for Obamacare. I told her I was looking for an apology because it's a direct violation.
And the audience was a little happy with that, weren't they?
Yeah, I got quite a response. It wasn't really anything I was expecting, but, I think truth is sweet to the ears, and the people that were there that night wanted somebody to stand up and speak in favor of the Constitution because it's a document that belongs to all of us. So the people were pretty thrilled to hear somebody ask for an apology from a U.S. Senator.
And you were not doing this to get any kind of accolades. You did it because this is who you are.
Yeah. Kind of what brought me into it, you know, like we said before, I spent several years in the Marine Corps. I was an infantry Marine, and
uh-oh. You know, Paul, that could have been me. Gosh darn it. That's my fault. Sorry, folks.
Hi,
I promise.
Paul, just leave your name and a brief message, and I'll get back with you as soon as I can. Thanks.
At the tone,
oh, goodness.
Please record your message. When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options. To leave a callback number, press 5.
Oh, I see how this works. Now I'm getting it. Are you there, Paul? I'm sorry, folks. Hold on. I'm going to call him back real quick. This is my fault because I'm not pressing the right buttons is what's going on. So let me just do this one more time. Dial out. Give me 1 second here. I'm sitting here thinking it's him and it's me. So don't text me, people. I got to do this. Give me 1 second here. 6-3. Mm-hmm. 5-1. There you go. Let's try one more time. I promise you we'll be right back.
Hey, Dave?
Yeah, okay. That was my fault. That wasn't yours.
Okay.
Okay. I've looked at these. It's a new board. I've never used it before, so now I see what it's doing. All right, so anyway, you're talking. Yeah. We're back, folks.
Yeah, I think that the simplest thing that our elected officials can do, it's probably one of the simplest job descriptions in America, is just to follow the Constitution. So that's kind of what got me into it. You know, a couple of buddies from my squad were killed, and now I'm in elected office, but it's kind of ironic because I really have a chip on my shoulder for politicians, especially the ones that just use it as an opportunity to catapult themselves up into a higher office.
Okay, I'm not going to ask you to name names. All right, you've been up in the state legislature for a couple months. When you're up there, what do you see? Do you see most of these people there because they really and truly care, or do you mostly see people there because it's a stepping stone for another position or power? I mean, be honest, you don't have to name names, though.
Okay, yeah, that's a really good question. I think I have to make sure that this is noted, that we have one of the largest freshman Republican classes in the history of the state. I think that is in large part due to the Tea Party movement. So among the freshmen, I think that there's a lot of people there because they want to be there. They think that it's time to do something good, something real. They want to bring some actual substance in, freedom, principles of freedom and liberty. I think that most of the people there, just the feeling that I get from them is that they're there because they want things to just be good. I think that the longer people are there, the more opportunity that they have to elevate themselves or to climb into a higher position. So those people definitely exist. And thanks for not asking me to name names, but there are some people there that's what they want to do. And I'm not saying that that's a bad thing necessarily, but if that's the only motivation why you're in office is because you're reaching for more power, then that is a bad thing. And I can't really look right into the minds of everybody there, but it wouldn't surprise me at all if some of the people there were that motivated, you know, or their actions were driven from those motivations. But like I said, from the feeling that I get from talking to most of the people that they want to do the right thing. I think the hard part is knowing what the right thing is to do and then actually having the courage to do it.
You know, you and I have talked a lot off the air, and one of the things that people don't understand is there are things you want to do, but there's a time to do it, and you just can't change the world right away, and you have to remember who the voters are.
Right, yeah, you got to remember who the voters are. To give the listeners some background on my district was heavily, heavily Democrat. I beat a deeply entrenched incumbent. And there's a lot of things that I want to do, but just for the sake of, and I know this sounds like political rhetoric or, you know, a politician talking, but to a certain degree, there's an element of truth here that we gotta be careful how we go about doing what we want to do just so we can continue to exert the same amount of influence that we have right now. I mean, there's a reason we don't drop the atom bomb in every single war, you know? There's a reason why when we go to war, we have to use different tactics for different terrain.
That's a great way of putting it, Paul.
And politics is really just a war by another means, somebody once said. So based on the political climate, we have to just make sure that we adjust ourselves so that we're doing what's appropriate, mm-hmm. so that way we can exert the most amount of influence over the longest possible run that we can. Because if I was to go in there and vote and introduce everything I wanted to introduce, what I could be doing in this environment is giving somebody almost a shopping list of things that they can put on a mailer to make sure all these Democrats come out and vote against me next time. So it may not be the time and the place to do some things right now, but based on the climate, it might be a perfect opportunity to drive home some conservative principles. For example, in my district, there's a lot of unions, and a lot of them are conservative people. So I just got to be very careful with them and make sure that I continue to be gentle with my conservative message to continue to coax them closer and closer and closer to solid conservative values. And it's the perfect climate to be doing that right now.
Well, because frankly, this is no offense to voters. Most of them are uninformed, you know. One of the questions somebody asked, by the way, is is anybody even talk about the personal property tax? I think a personal property tax is disgusting myself, but is anybody even talk about bringing up that legislation?
No, not that I know of. I'm sure that there is some I'm sure that there's some talk out there on it. I haven't seen any bills come to any of my committees, and I haven't seen any bills come to the floor yet that have to deal with personal property tax.
Okay. Another one is what about the motorcycle helmet law?
Yes. I actually co-sponsored a bill with Representative Jeannie Riddle, who's the assistant floor leader. She introduced a bill to eliminate the mandatory helmet law for motorcycle drivers.
But yeah, but Paul, don't you care about these people? I mean, if they have an accident, they're going to hurt their head. You got to protect them, don't you?
Yeah, the thought crossed my mind to start introducing bills to protect people from themselves. But then self-control got the better of me, and I decided it might be better to let people have freedom.
Yeah, there's too many Democrats out there as it is. Too many in the Republican Party, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, and the other thing was, so I'm kind of going through some of the questions people are asking here, and the other one is, you've got some bills that you have sponsored personally. Which ones have you introduced?
HJR 26 was the first one that I dropped a few weeks ago, and what that will do is, if it passes, it'll put on the Missouri ballot at the next general election. Upon voter approval, we're going to take the principles in the 10th Amendment, and we went a little bit more detailed as to what the 10th Amendment actually means, but we're going to take those and we're going to pick them up, and we're also going to transplant them into the Missouri Constitution. So basically, it'll be in Missouri Constitution that anything directly not given to the federal government in the U.S. Constitution is reserved to the people and to the state of Missouri. And it's probably one of the most best pitbull types of state sovereignty legislation that we've been able to introduce. State Senator Brian Nieves is introducing the exact same measure on the Senate side, so it's been duly introduced in both houses.
A question. Why were you bringing it to the voters? Why aren't we just taking care of it in the legislatures?
Right. Yeah, we could, but the thing is we want to put it in the Missouri Constitution. That way it can't be amended or changed unless the voters approve it again. But also, if we do it with voter approval, well, then we have the U.S. Constitution, then we have the Missouri Constitution, plus we can also cite the principles of representation by saying that the Missouri voters have approved to put it in the U.S. I'm sorry, in the Missouri Constitution. So we got two laws and one principle of our American Republic that we've been able to that we can cite in a court if we wanted to.
See, and I think it's so important just how you said it, because a lot of people are going to jump on it, but unless they know the reasons why you're doing something or not doing something, they don't know. You know, I mean, really, that's more important than anything, because there's too much, and we're all guilty of this. I mean, you're probably guilty before you got there. We all are, because we just don't have enough knowledge sometimes, that there are things you want to do, like you said, but you don't bomb in every war. You know, you don't bomb in every, you know, it just doesn't happen. So people have to be a little more patient. They have to think about the politics of it. And like I tell people, you got to remember who the voters are, because if you don't, You won't be there next time. And it's not that you want to be there forever, but you can't accomplish everything in a year or two.
Right. Yeah, and in my seat, it's very, very – I mean, I already know that the other side is going to come for me in the next election. So – and the thing is I'm probably a lot more conservative than a lot of Republicans in the Missouri House maybe. So this is a place where I have to just be very, very careful to make sure that I can use the most influence – over the longest run as possible. And I know some people might say, it sounds to me like you're a compromiser or whatever. Well, I'm not a compromiser. It's just that I think God gave us our freedom, and God wants us to be good stewards of our freedom. And I think part of that is making sure that we're just careful and gentle with the rest of the people to make sure that we fulfill the purpose of government, which is to protect people's rights. So I just got to make sure that I'm doing it appropriately and carefully and respectful of the kind of people that I have in my district.
Well, you know, and you've heard the expression nudge.
Right.
Yeah, Beck uses that, but I understand it more and more now because of the fact that you can't do everything overnight. So you have to nudge people a certain way, you know, because, you know, that we all have our ideas of what something is, and people don't understand that there's more to every story than what they know. And that's why a lot of times I'll see people make opinions on things, and it's like, why don't you just shut up and get more information before you start spitting your opinions out? I mean, it makes no sense at all to do that. Another question for you. Let me see. Why make a mandate? Somebody really wants to ask you a lot of questions here. Do you agree that citizens have a right to travel? Then why make it a mandate, a license to travel? I'm trying to figure out what that means. You're going to have to there's one question here, and I can kind of understand. It says, why suspend somebody's driver's license if he loses his job and gets behind on child support? You know, I got to tell you, in that particular case, I want to just say one thing about that. The feel-good police, they pick on everybody. You know, they pick on everybody, and, you know, as you could tell right now, they're picking on the producers. Well, hey, I got an idea. Let's just go to something you can really relate to. How would you like to be a Republican in Wisconsin right now?
I wouldn't, really.
You'd have to use your war tactics then, wouldn't you?
Oh, yeah. I'd feel right at home, maybe.
Well, what do you think of that? I mean, let's get your honest opinion. What do you think of what's going on up there?
I think that Governor Walker and the Republicans up there are trying to do what is in the best interest of the state as a whole, and they have an obligation to do that. And if that means that they have to adjust the collective bargaining or the union rights to a certain degree, then I mean, you got to do what you got to do. And the thing is what's interesting about this is they're not taking away people's freedom. They're taking away certain guarantees of collective bargaining or something along those lines, you know. So I don't think anybody has a right to expect a certain amount of wage unless they privately contracted with an employer to get that wage. At that point, then they would have a right because it should be respected by way of the contract.
Right, because if you own a business – your employees don't elect somebody to run the business and then negotiate with you. That's the big difference. We're the business owners. And, you know, I'm sorry, these people are electing their own people to make sure that they come back with nice fringe benefit package and the rest of it. And that's what's destroying these states. You know, it's terrible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think you're right about that. And, you know, I think that what the leadership in Wisconsin is doing right now is, I think it's appropriate, and I think it's right what they're doing. And unfortunately for the people on the other end, you know, it is going to hurt. I mean, every decision, every time a lawmaker does anything with a bill, 9 times out of 10, they are taking away somebody's freedom, or they are taking away somebody's handout, or they are going to be taking more money from somebody. Hardly ever nowadays does our government actually grant more freedom back to the people who rightfully should have it in the first place.
Well, how would
one
people
of those cases...
Go ahead.
I was just saying that this is just one of those cases where the government really is doing the right thing for the best interest of the state and the people. But then you got this one set, I don't even know what to call them, but they depend on all these benefits that the unions and collective bargaining normally provide, but the government has an obligation to the people, not to the unions.
Well, you know, when these people are there, what people don't understand is the government in that state is a monopoly. So I wonder in the private sector, let's say, for instance, somebody, there's a monopoly that owns it, that does all the work for the trash service in St. Louis City, or St. Louis City or county. What would happen to that company? Seriously, what would the citizens be saying if the company, the employees of the company had said, well, we're not going to do this anymore? They'd be saying, fire them and get another company, wouldn't they?
Yep, they sure would.
But they're not doing that in this case. And I will say one thing negative about the Republicans and the governor up there. I think they've done a really horrible job of the PR stuff up there, because they could have done a lot better job of explaining.
Oh, yeah, they definitely could have. I mean, when the governor has a voice in the media, I mean, if the governor calls a press conference, people are going to show up and he's going to be on TV. I mean, that's a perfect opportunity to really explain to people. I mean, there's certain financial principles that people are going to be able to relate to, because everybody has to balance a checkbook. So they definitely could do a much better job of explaining exactly what's going on.
Well, you know, I want to say something about the Social Security thing because I know you're not doing the federal thing, but, you know, I find it fascinating why, you know, when, okay, we have Tea Party. You're a Tea Party person. I mean, that's where you basically, that's how you got elected. And a lot of Tea Party people are very guilty of this. They want to cut spending, but they don't want to cut their spending, you know, the programs that they like. They want to cut everyone else's. And what yeah. I've been telling people, Paul, and see, tell me what you think of this. It's like having two pocketfuls of money, and in one pocket you got federal spending, and you don't have any money left in there. Obviously, you got a credit card, okay, and it's and then in the other one you've got Social Security money. Well, you want to keep your Social Security money that you want to keep that, but in the other one you don't have any cash left. You're on credit cards right now. Well, in real life, you would have to take from them that Social Security money to help pay for the credit cards.
Yeah.
But for some reason, people don't get the connection there.
Well, people at tea parties, not everybody, but every now and then I see this, and I've seen it before on signs. They have signs that say something about not wanting socialism, but when you talk to them, they don't want anything to happen to their Social Security or to the benefits that they're getting. And socialism, by definition, is the imperfect implementation of collectivist principles. In other words, you take from a lot and you give out to certain groups. And that's exactly what Social Security is. So if you don't want socialism or you don't want communism, which by definition is the perfect implementation of collectivist principles, in other words, you take from everybody and you give to everybody, well, then that means that's like every single government program that we have right now could fall into one of those two categories.
Well, a pension, in you know, because basically Social Security is, quote-unquote, a government pension, okay? Well, if you had a pension with a company and you died, well, your estate gets that money. But in Social Security, it's called, good, that's one less person we got to pay. You know, and
oh, yeah, yeah.
How would people feel like that in the private sector? They wouldn't like it, would they?
No, not at all. Not at all. And that, 'cause that makes the private sector less private. It takes more freedom away from people in the private sector. If that's the way you're going to operate, then your money is not really your money. Your money is everybody else's money. So where's the freedom in that?
Well, I'm not going to put you in this position, but I'm a big believer of the fact that if you're living on welfare, that you really and truly have no right to vote at that time because you're living off other people, and the only thing you can really be doing when you're voting is voting for yourself. And
well, Benjamin Franklin said, Benjamin Franklin almost basically said those exact words. He said if when people find that they can vote themselves a paycheck, that's the way that they're going to vote. That's what Benjamin Franklin said like 230-some years ago. So I definitely don't think that you or anybody else would be off base in saying that, and you're definitely not alone. In fact, you have pretty good company with men like Benjamin Franklin.
Well, that is good company, and I like that. But am I right, though? I would be demonized from the word go. I mean, you know, this thing of right to vote, most people don't even realize that we actually aren't guaranteed the right to vote.
Yeah, we're guaranteed the right to representation, and we're guaranteed to all be held equal underneath the law. I think that one of the reasons our founding fathers said that only landowners or property owners could vote is just because those people have a direct interest in the security of their property. And so they're not going to vote for a paycheck. They're going to vote to make sure that government is limited and regulated enough that it can't reach out and take their property from them. I think that was one of the principles why they said property owners.
Yeah, but, you know, I don't understand this disenfranchised stuff. I feel disenfranchised when I pay taxes, and then, you know, someone who doesn't pay taxes, they get disability, they get all this other stuff. If they have a right to vote on what their paycheck is going to be, basically, we want our increase. This, you know, things have gone up, we want our increase, and I'm looking at them thinking, what do you act like you're working for somebody? You know, and you can't even expect anything from these people, you know, except for the fact that they're going to go to places like Wisconsin and throw big fits is what amounts to. I mean, what they're doing there, can you imagine, now you're in a tea party, can you imagine the tea parties acting like they are up in Wisconsin?
No.
The unions? Oh. The whole idea, every tea party that you've been to, have you ever seen anything nothing like that, I know. But have you actually seen anything out there that was really any trouble whatsoever?
Never have. In fact, I've always felt, and I'm saying this because this is just honest, I've always felt like I was in a safe place whenever I've been around Tea Partiers, and I've also felt like if there was anything that I needed, somebody there would help me do it. Like if my, I was in Camdenton for a Tea Party, and for some reason the key would not turn in my ignition. I think the tumblers were messed up, and I had like 7 or 8 guys that I've never met before all come over. And one guy was looking it up on his phone to find out what might be the problem, and everybody else is checking everything out. And, I mean, those are the kind of people you get from a Tea Party. These are people that have good values, and they just want good government.
You know, and I get really incensed every time I watch these people. In fact, I'm going to play something real quick for you. And this is the kind of garbage that they have on TV. I want to play this real quick and see what you think of this, what they said.
Excuse me, we had plenty of guts. The Republicans wouldn't go along with it, number one. And number two, when you want to cut out Head Start, police, and firemen, then you're in draconian cuts. That way, Kerry is right. These people, these Tea Party people, are out of their minds with these kind of cuts they're talking about.
You're out of your mind. You come on America's Newsroom almost every other Monday.
We're out of our minds because we want cuts. Did you know that they did the research on Head Start? And what they found out is no matter whether they were in Head Start or not, by the time they're 7 years old, they're all in the same place anyway.
Somehow that does not come as a shock to me.
You know, all these programs, you know, that's something else too. Now that you're closer to state government, are you familiar with the Medicaid parameters of how you get Medicaid and what the limits are and all that? Do you have any of those numbers by chance? Because most people don't know.
Yeah, I don't have any of that stuff with me, and that is a lot to take in. I'm still in the learning process. I'd hate to say something inaccurate.
No, that's okay, but when you at least got an idea about some of it, because I remember talking to Representative Watson, well, he's a senator now, but I remember talking to him one time, and he was telling me that it's like $50,000 is like the top income, you know, for some of these people, and they get Medicaid. How does that happen?
Yeah, when I remember when I was campaigning, the people, I would go to somebody's door, knock on their door, and they'd be home, and I'd be talking to them and just, you know, making good conversation. And, there's a lot of people, and not just when I was campaigning, but whenever I've been in other places helping other people campaign, you know, every now and then you find somebody at home, and they could work. They're getting around the house just fine, but they're on Social Security disability, and they're collecting Medicaid benefits, and they're using all this money to pay for a brand new truck or something else, or I don't know, but they're living off the government, but they're living as though they're working two jobs.
You're talking about my family, obviously. I'm dead serious. Yes. I have a brother and a sister-in-law who live in St. Louis area, and they were my sister-in-law was on. She's been on Social Security so long, I don't even know if she's hardly even worked. How she got on Social Security, I don't even know. My brother, who we have supported twice in the penal institutions, let's put it that way, finally got off his butt, was actually doing something for about, 8 to 10 years, and then calls me one day and says, hey, Dave, guess I'm retired now. He's younger than me, by the way. Retired? How are you retired? Well, I'm going to go on Social Security disability. And he went in and filed and didn't get it right away. And you're probably familiar with this, but what happened, it took 2 years for him to get it. And in the meantime, his wife's getting all this money. They're getting all kinds of income from their house to help for their house, pay for their house and all that stuff, plus all Medicaid and the rest of it. And then finally, his comes through. Of course, they got lawyers to do that now. His comes through, and he gets 2 years of Social Security money, which is over $20,000. Can you imagine $20,000 in the hands of irresponsible people? It was gone in 1 month. In 1 month. And then he came back complaining to me. He says, I can't believe it. They cut my wife's Social Security down because I'm getting it now. That's where we are. They thought they were going to get rich by the fact both of them were going to get it. But that goes to show you why a lot of times people divorce, they both get Social Security disability, and then they live just like you said, like they're both working.
Yeah, yeah. And meanwhile, our troops overseas in Iraq and Afghanistan are getting about $800 every 2 weeks. That's
yeah.
all they get.
Yeah.
That's upside down.
And their families are struggling, you know, but those people, though, aren't going to them and saying, you've got to do everything for us. They realize that they're for a job. You know, I mean, when you were there, I mean, you didn't go there. It was a job to you, wasn't it?
The military?
Yeah. Yes.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, yeah. When you were in the military, I'm going somewhere with this, and I'll tell you why.
Okay.
Do you think you were a hero because you were in the military?
No.
Okay. And I'm bringing this up for a reason, because I am sick to death of all these union government workers making it out, and you notice they never talk about military. They making it out that teachers, firemen, and policemen especially are all heroes. Now, I don't know where that's coming from. You know, it's a job. To me, it's just a job.
Right.
I played cop for a little
right.
bit myself. When you were in the military, you didn't consider yourself a hero. It was a job. Am I right?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
A hero
exactly. A hero. People, America has taken the word hero, and we've really diluted it, because now everybody's a hero. Albert Pujols is a hero. Everybody's a hero. Firemen and police officers, to say that their jobs aren't dangerous and appreciated would be wrong, but the word hero, I'm not so sure that a hero is just somebody who wears a badge or carries a rifle like I did. I think we're really overusing the word hero.
Yes, it's who you are inside, right? You know, if somebody goes and jumps on a grenade to protect your butt, you're not going, hey, I'm a hero because I happen to be there. He's the hero because he saved your life. If somebody runs
right.
into a burning building, they're a hero. But just,
right.
You know what, I got one for you. Is this cop a hero when you're driving down the street and you're doing 30 miles in a 20-mile-an-hour zone and they got a radar gun and they want to give you, how much are those heroes? I think we forgot about that, didn't we? I know you got to watch what you're saying there. But, you know, I'm sick and tired of making these people out like, and the teacher thing just blows me away, because you would think that our children would never learn. And this is nothing against teachers. Just stop patting your own back. You know, you would think that kids could never learn unless there was a teacher in their life.
Mm-hmm.
You got to deal with that to some extent, don't you? I mean, Are you a little tired of that fact that, you know, all these people are heroes? I mean, don't you think they cheapen the word hero?
I think that they cheapen the word hero, and it really dilutes it and takes it away from those people that really do command our respect and admiration for the sacrifices that they've made. And just because someone's a teacher doesn't make them a hero. I think that some teachers out there are fantastic teachers, but there's also a lot of teachers out there that aren't so great. So just to say that teachers in general are heroes puts them all in the same category, and I would like to be a little bit more merit-based whenever I use the word hero and only use it to somebody that really deserves to be used it, and that kind of brings it down to an individual level, whether or not somebody on their own merit is worthy of being called a hero for the job that they perform or for the sacrifices that they make.
Exactly right. I agree. All right, I'm going to ask you this, and I'm not trying to embarrass you here, but you know there's people running for Senate here. And I've had people ask me this, so I'm just asking you what they're saying. You actually stood up to Claire McCaskill, and wouldn't it just be wonderful if you were the person to look at Claire McCaskill and say, you remember me from a couple years ago? Well, I'm in the other side now, and I want your job because you're not doing it. You ever think about doing that?
I've entertained the thought, and that might have really just been more for entertainment purposes. I don't think it's something that I could do right now reasonably. But yeah, I thought to myself, wow, that'd be kind of cool to do. But right now, I just don't think it's realistic. And not only that, but I just got elected into a House district, and I would kind of hate for some people to elect me, and then I spend the next 2 years running for a higher office. I'm not sure that would send the right message to them.
Well, yeah, because yeah, I think in a way you'd like to get it under your belt a bit more, but then there won't be anybody there for you. Then it'd be another 4 years before there'd be an election. So for some of us that want to see true patriots get up there, I got to tell you, there is a groundswell, buddy. So you better watch out. We may have to come and kidnap your tail and see if we can't get you to do something. But I would never say that myself. You know that I would never do that. Hey, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna take a breather here. Hang on for a minute here, Paul, and we'll finish. If you don't mind finishing the show with me, do you?
How much longer is that?
About another 15 minutes.
But yeah, I can do that. That sounds good.
Okay, if you got to go, just tell. Let me know. But all right, just give me a minute, okay? Hold on.
All right.
All righty, I want to take a couple minutes here to explain to you what I've been doing for the past year. And yes, this is a commercial break, and this means that you really need to pay attention, because if I'm saying it, it must be right. How about that? Okay, I've been involved with H&H Industries, which is a lighting company. Now, I basically do industrial-type lighting, but we do some residential, too. We have those types of twisty-type things, and a lot of people have fluorescence in their home. But what the one thing I want to tell you more than anything that I learned in this business was that most of us have zero idea about lighting. You just buy lights and you think, hey, it's that bright and that's it. Wrong. You can put the brightest light up there you want, but the problem is it giving your eyes what it needs to see well? And the answer in 99% of the cases is absolutely not. So what we do is we go into businesses, and like I said, some residential, and we redo their lighting. Now, in businesses, we go in there and we'll go do an audit, and we'll see what you're currently using. Then we'll come in later with a proposal, and we'll explain to you what kind of lighting is best for what you have, the least amount of lights with the most output. Now, when I say output, what is best for your eyes, and what's going to cost you the least amount in the future? And, you know, let's not kid anybody. At Lowe's and Home Depot and these places, their business is to sell you as many lights as possible. That's their business. I mean, when you walk in there, don't think you're going in there and you got someone that says, we want you to buy the least we can. They don't. We do. But the reason we do is, of course, our lighting is more expensive. However, it is much, much better than anything you buy at those other places. So give me a call off the air. My number is 417-770-6301, and we can discuss the kinds of things we can do. And, you know, you just don't know what you're missing until you get some good light in your house. That's all we have in our house anymore. We've got the H&H lights, and I can't even think about putting any other kind of lights in my house, because when I walk around now, as I'm getting a little older, I can actually see better, much, much better. So let me give you that number again one more time. That's 417-770-6301. Give me a call, and let's see what we can get worked out. I really think you'll be happy with it. All righty, we're back. Thanks for taking a break there, Paul. All right, we're here with Paul Kirtman, state representative, and we're trying to talk him into something else right now, but we're not going to do that. I'm just having fun with you there, Paul. You there? Are you there, Paul? All righty, let me see. Hopefully he's there. Are you there, Paul? Hello? All right. Oh, there you are. Okay. All right, Paul.
Okay. You got me?
Okay. Your turn.
I'm here.
Okay. All right. Hey, by the way, you still have your book for sale?
I do.
You do? Okay.
My book, Don't Tread on Me, right now, the only way people can get it is they'll have to go to my website, which is just paulkirtman.com. It's my old campaign website. We're in the process of designing a new one right now. But there's a little book up there, and that's they just click on that and they can buy it. And it's all about state sovereignty and individual personal freedoms.
I encourage everyone to get it, everyone. And by the way, somebody wants to know your contact info because they want to send you some money. They think you need some more money or campaign. And actually, that's probably not a bad idea.
Oh, no, that is a fantastic idea for everybody. But if anybody wants to do that for me, that'd be great. All they have to do is just make a check out to Citizens to Elect Paul Kirtman, and the address for that is 211 North 1st Street, Pacific, Missouri, 63069.
Lots of money.
There is no cap. And there's no cap on contribution limits.
Oh, there isn't?
Nope, not in the state of Missouri.
Oh, okay. No matter what you're running for?
There might be at the federal level, but I think for state reps, the only thing I've ever been told is, you know, if you get $5,000, you just got to report it within 24 hours. That's about all I know.
I see. Well, what if you got an onslaught of mail and people are like, look, we don't want Ed Martin. We don't want Sarah Steele. We don't want these people. We want a real patriot. You know, they're going to be sending you letters, so you better watch out. See, this is what happens when you're that attractive, you know.
Yeah.
By the way, you will be here in Springfield, Missouri on April the 2nd. Am I correct?
Yes.
Okay. We're having a tea party here. Do me a favor. I'd like to embarrass somebody, if you don't mind, right now. You have a fabulous assistant. Can you tell us about her?
Yeah, her name is Annette Reed, and she is my legislative assistant in Jefferson City. She also headed up an organization with her sister Margaret, and it's a small grassroots organization called I Heard the People Say, and they're out of the Chesterfield area, West St. Louis County. And Annette, after the primaries, she came on board with my campaign and just pushed and pushed and pushed to help get me some more exposure and help me get some things done. And I think I picked up like 18 points in less than 3 weeks just before the election. And I owe a big part of that to her and all the volunteers that showed up. But Annette has been a huge help in everything, and just in the conservative movement and with me in Jefferson City as well.
Well, a lot of people don't understand either is the fact that you have a lot of people that you have to be careful if they're sincere and genuine or full of crap, don't you?
Yeah, and there's a lot of people. It's hard to get a read on them. I mean, people are motivated for all kinds of different reasons to get involved in government or activism in general. But Annette is definitely very sincere. I think her heart's in the right place. And she's one of those people, it's not about her, it's about the movement, or it's about somebody else, helping somebody else get ahead. And I really appreciate that.
She's like your mom, isn't she?
Yeah. There's been some jokes made about that. It's kind of funny, but really, she's been a fantastic help.
Yeah. By the way, I keep getting nailed here on the chat board. Yes. Make sure she sends me all the info on your book and all that stuff, and I'll post it on my website.
All right.
Okay. Because this is well. You know, and we have some other things. I'm going to talk to you off the air later on. Are you going to be available after 8 o'clock? By the way, I got to tell you something, but I can't do it now.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll be available.
All right, I'll make sure. But I want to get back to Annette though. Annette and I talk occasionally. She's an absolute sweetheart, and she is as genuine as it comes. And even she and I don't agree in everything. I'm sure you and her agree in everything too. But, you know, she is open-minded, and she's willing to finally get it, because we'll finally teach her the right things. Am I correct?
What did you say? We'll finally what?
We'll finally teach her how to think. I mean, she's not always correct, and we just got to make sure we fix that for her.
Yeah, everything's always debatable, right?
Well, that's right. You know, she's a nice lady. She really is, but, you know, she still has her issues, but we'll fix her. Don't worry about that. I just like to get yelled at by her when we talk. But she's also – is she coming with you to the tea party?
She might be. I'm not sure. She comes around. Her and I got some other friends that also come with me whenever I go to different tea parties. I'm not sure if she'll be there on April 2nd, but I wouldn't be surprised if she was there.
Okay. Well,
I
threatened her the fact that she would have to speak, and she said no way. She's not a public speaker, is she? Okay.
She does a pretty good job. I've seen her before. I've seen her go at it. I saw her in a talk one time with Phyllis Schlafly, and she did pretty good.
Well, good for her. Hey, by the way, one more thing. Somebody asked about the fair tax. excuse me. There's two fair taxes here. We got the Missouri fair tax, and we got the national fair tax. Shoot us on both of them, will you?
I think that the Missouri fair tax, before we do a national fair tax, I think it would be a good idea if more states – on an individual, sovereign, independent level did the fair tax, because at that point we'd be able to see which states are doing a much better job, which states got it right, and we'd be able to pull the best principles out of each one of those states and try to implement that towards a national level. But I think the fair tax is a fantastic idea. I like a lot of the principles in it. I like the idea that anybody who spends any money in Missouri is at that point a Missouri taxpayer, and whether or not somebody is even a legal resident of Missouri or America, they're still paying taxes, but the taxes at that point are hopefully still reserved for the citizens of America. So I like the principles behind it. It also encourages our government to be more responsible, because their revenue is going to be more proportionally based on how well the economy is doing and how well the cost of living is, and whether or not people are buying money and the economy is healthy. I think there's a lot of good principles in it altogether. I'm not exactly sure how Missouri's is shaping up to play out. There's been a couple bills introduced already. Right now, I think the one that's generating the most momentum is Andrew Koenig, Representative Andrew Koenig. He's introduced a fair tax bill, and his is looking like it's one of the best ones that we've seen on the House floor.
But you know what we got to do with that, though, is we've got to teach people how it really works, and you know, people don't understand the goals. The goal is to get the most money in the Treasury to pay the bills. Okay, that's it. And for some reason, it has become class warfare. That's what it's become.
Yeah.
You know, and people don't understand. A lot of people who aren't paying taxes should be paying taxes to help out. And frankly, I don't know, for some reason, they actually think that if you tax a millionaire more, you're going to get more money. And that has been proven to be wrong every single time. But it doesn't matter, because it's not about taxes. It's about class warfare, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Whenever you start breaking the populace up into different tax brackets, and it never really dawned on me until earlier this summer, I heard somebody say, quit referring to the middle class. You know, we're all Americans. And once you can't have class warfare unless you have different classes of people. So, you know, you're always learning. Every now and then you hear somebody say something, and it just makes absolute perfect sense, and you wonder why you didn't think of it before.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that, because I remember I was on the air one time, and I said the Democratic Party. And somebody said, no, it's the Democrat Party. And I thought about it. And the other thing I thought about is the fact is the Democrat Party is so far from being democratic, it's unreal. And not only that, what kind of country do we live in, damn it? Do we live in a democratic system? No, we live in what kind of system?
Constitutional Republic.
Yeah. What is this stuff?
Yeah,
I lose my mind over this. What is this crap where people are just Democrat? We're all Democrat. We got democracy. If I hear democracy again, I'm going to scream. And we hear this. We even hear some President Bush.
Right. Oh, the word democracy is used a lot, and I think some people are using it. I think maybe in culture today, in the way kids are taught in school, it's just one of those things people use it and they don't necessarily understand the depth of what that word actually means. And when you compare it to the actual system that our Constitution gives us, the two aren't one and the same.
But, you know, how in the heck are we going to even teach people if we can't even use the right terminology? You know, because everybody calls it democracy. I mean, think about it. Every time, if you take the word republic and take the word democracy, it's probably 101 minimum of what you hear. Democracy, democracy, you hardly ever hear republic.
Right.
And if it starts, go ahead.
I was just going to say that's the $1 million question. You know, how you educate people. You know, when we're not even using the right terminology, but we're not going to use the right terminology unless we start educating people. I think it's just a matter of the patriots or the people who know what they're talking about, just to make sure that they're committed to using the right words and educating their friends and neighbors and family.
Okay, I got one more question for you, and we'll let you get going here. Politics is about making laws to take away freedoms. How about some laws to get rid of some regulations, to get rid of some spending, that kind of stuff? Why can't we go that route instead? Because if anything I've seen in the Tea Parties and the rest of them, all these candidates, I'm talking about a national level more than anything, is they're going to get rid of all these agencies, but nobody does anything.
Yeah, this is something kind of new. the Speaker of the House in Missouri is Steve Tilley, and you're probably familiar with him. He did something that I thought was a pretty novel idea, and I think somebody might have had the same idea in Kansas, and that might be where they took it from. But he got rid of like 15 standing committees just to immediately shrink the scope of our jurisdiction, you know, to a certain degree, or at least give that impression. But one of the committees that he did create is called Downsizing State Government, and I actually get to vice chair that committee. The committee is chaired by Representative Cole McNary, and the whole purpose of this committee is for people to introduce bills for us to basically start eliminating certain statutes that we don't need, or else we're finding statutes that overlap or agencies that overlap where everybody's getting money to do the same thing, and we're going to start getting rid of that. And it's been a very good, interesting, and valuable committee, I think. So in Missouri, we're already heading down that road. Speaker Tilley put that committee into effect just for that purpose, to start shrinking the size of the Missouri government, especially in all these unnecessary agencies and in places that we've currently got control or statutes in place. So I think that's a pretty good idea, and I think it would be great to see a committee at the federal level, you know, downsizing national government, an actual standing committee for that purpose. Maybe there is one, I don't know, but if there's not, we need one.
You know, I just happen to think about this. Is there any committee or any group in the state of Missouri that actually goes through the government to find out where the abuse is and letting you guys know it, or is that something you get to find out all on your own?
It's a little bit of both. There's just today in the Downsizing State Government Committee, one of the bills that we heard had to deal with the auditors or the government administration's office being able to go in and audit different agencies and find out which agencies are actually performing to the standards that they should be performing at. That way we're going to be able to locate fraud or abuse or just misappropriation of funds or misuse of time even. And I think the bill sponsor on that was Representative Jason Smith. And I thought it was a fantastic idea. Oh, no, I'm sorry. It was Representative Sue Allen out of the Baldwin, Manchester area of West St. Louis County. I think that's a great idea. Get it in statute that office has that authority to go to these agencies and just really go in there really in depth and evaluate their performance, evaluate their budgets and everything else, just to make sure that the taxpayers get their money's worth with these agencies and that they're actually operating efficiently and effectively. And, you know, who would have thought that we never had that in statute before, but now it looks like it's going to be.
Well, you know, and one of the things I remember my wife telling me was the fact that, like, if you're a teacher or in certain positions, one of the things they teach you is make sure you spend all your funds, because otherwise you won't get the same amount next year, and they may even cut them. I mean, well, come on, that is one of the dumbest things I've ever done. Can you imagine at home you say, well, let me see, we made this much money this year, let's spend it all, therefore next year we'll get the same amount. That's insane. And what can we do about that, Paul?
I can think of a couple different ideas, and I think I was speaking with a representative earlier this year who's actually planning on introducing a bill. I'm not sure how he's going to do it, but he's wanting to go in and make some adjustments where people are allowed to keep a certain amount of the money that they save, and then their budget will adjust to that the following year. That way they're not spending money unnecessarily, and the following year the government doesn't have to give them as much money, but the end result is they still have more.
Right.
You know, kind of like rollover minutes might work on a cell phone.
Yeah.
But then a certain percentage of that money is also given back to other agencies who do need it. So there's people that are working on that right now.
Right. Okay, buddy. Hey, we're out of time. We went all the way through. Hey, I appreciate it. We'll get together. I'm going to call you in a little bit. I got something to tell you. Appreciate you coming on. Okay. And Annette give me that information. Okay.
Sure
all right,
will.
Everybody.
Sure will.
Okay. Thanks, Paul. All right, we'll be back. We'll be back tomorrow. We're going to be talking to Kevin Harned in the Right to Work deal. Please give us a listen, and I think you really like it. We'll be on at 7 again, and the next week we're going to go to 2 hours. So it's going to get better and better, folks. Appreciate you listening, and we will see you tomorrow.
You can't quit.
And why not? I got fired.
You can't fire him.
Why not?
He quit.
Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Cause when the going gets tough, the tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on! Ah! Thanks. I needed that.